Shaheen. She soon arrived outside the tavern, a two-story brick building that, like everything else in the street, was closed and empty. After a minute of peering vainly through windows into the murky interior, Asha gave up and settled down on the doorstep. It was a half hour later when crunching footsteps indicated someone's approach. She looked up to see a thin, distinguished-looking man striding towards her, the black lines on his face stark against his pale skin.
"Ashalia Chedris," she nodded. "Come with me."
Asha scrambled to her feet, giving a silent sigh of relief. She followed the man through a series of desolate back streets, the echo of their footsteps often the only sound. Her guide ignored her for the most part, swiveling his head occasionally to make sure she was keeping up, but otherwise keeping his eyes fixed on the way ahead. They made their way into the residential section of the Middle District, and before long the shadow came to a halt outside one of the smaller houses. He opened the door, gesturing for Asha to enter. Inside was dim, the curtains drawn, but Asha could see Siner reclining in a chair near the window. He was flanked by two large shadows who both gave her suspicious stares. Siner gestured cheerfully for her to sit.
"Ashalia," he exclaimed. "Very clever, asking half the shadows in the palace directions to the Silver Talon. I had three separate reports saying you were on your way there."
"I assumed you probably had someone following me anyway, but I wanted to be sure," said Asha, trying to keep the bitterness from her tone.
"Indeed," said Siner.
He leaned forward.
"I want to begin by saying that I had no knowledge of Terran's and Pyle's actions until after the event. It was unfortunate."
"I think they would agree," said Asha quietly, forcing down the twist of fear in her stomach. Siner stared at her for a moment, then chuckled.
"I suppose they would."
He straightened.
"So, it seems like an odd time to be delivering information, but I take it you have news?"
"No, not about the North Warden, anyway." Siner watched her for a few seconds, silent.
"Terran insisted that you never meant to tell us anything," he said eventually. "He was telling the truth, wasn't he?"
"Yes," said Asha. "Once I found out the truth about you." Siner's eyebrows raised a fraction.
"Honesty. Surprising, but I can respect that."
He scratched his head.
"However, it leaves me in something of a quandary. We made a deal, Ashalia. You have broken it, and you know what happens to those who break deals with me. Why not just lie?"
"Because I don't have time for lies," said Asha grimly, "and I have something you're going to want more." Siner sighed, shaking his head.
"Maybe so, but I think I'd prefer to keep you restrained for now, at least until I hear what it is you have to say."
He nodded to the two men standing either side of him, who started forward. Asha stretched out her hand. There was the briefest moment of Siner staring at her in puzzlement. Then his two bodyguards, already halfway across the room, flew backwards and slammed into the wall, one shattering the window as his flailing arm hit it. Both men collapsed to the floor, unconscious, as Siner scrambled up from where his chair had been overturned by the powerful gust, his eyes wide. "Now," said Asha, trying to keep her voice from shaking, "I would like to talk to the real Shadraheen, please. There's something I need to discuss with her." Only a few minutes had passed when the door opened again. The woman who entered was a shadow, and yet somehow she was also startlingly beautiful, even the black lines on her face seeming to accentuate, rather than mar, her soft features. She was young, older than Asha, but only by a few years. Even so, she moved with confidence and grace as she swept inside, taking in the crumpled forms of Siner's bodyguards with an amused glance before turning to face Asha.
"Ashalia Chedris," she said, a slight lilting accent evident even in Asha's name. It seems you are full of surprises today.
Asha stared at her. You're the Shadrahin?
I am. Do not bother asking for proof. You will not get it.
Asha inclined her head. Though the woman was certainly young, something about her bearing had convinced Asha the moment she had entered the room. She took a deep breath.
I've come to ask the shadows to join the fight against the blind.
The Shadrahin raised an eyebrow in amusement.
It would be safer by far to flee, she observed,
her odd inflection making the cadence of the words sound almost musical. Whatever the accent was, Asha didn't recognize it.
I take it from what Sina just told me, you do not wish for us to simply take up swords?
Her eyes flicked to the ring on Asha's finger, then back again. Asha bit her lip.
Shadows can use vessels, she explained,
feeling a sense of dread as she said the words. It was out now, and no turning back.
I have access to administration's stockpile. For each shadow you can gather, I can have a powerful weapon in their hands by nightfall.
The Shadrahin studied her for a long moment, and Asha flushed under her cool gaze.
I am interested, said the other woman eventually. Once you give us these weapons, though, what is to keep us from simply leaving?
Nothing, I suppose, said Asha, except that the sanctuary is here, and as little as you may like the way things are run above ground, this is your home.
She took a deep breath.
And you don't strike me as the type to run, or to break deals, for that matter.
The Shadrahin gave a slow nod.
True enough.
She tapped at her teeth, looking thoughtful.
And after the battle is over, assuming we hold the city?
Asha grimaced.
To an extent, that is going to be up to you. Administration are going to want you to return the vessels, of course. If you don't, I have no idea what their reaction will be.
But regardless, they are going to see shadows as a real danger. All shadows, not just my people. And we will be defenseless if we return the vessels,
noted the other woman. Asha nodded.
I know, she said softly. And I will not blame you if the vessels are not returned. I want your word on one thing, though. You'll only ever use the vessels for self-defense. No going after administrators. No killing. There's no point having you defend the city if you're just going to tear it apart afterward.
The Shadrahin was silent for a long moment.
You would take my word?
Do I have reason not to?
The other woman gave her the slightest of smiles.
No. And you have it. I cannot make promises for every shadow who has a vessel, of course. But for my part, I will insist that their use is for self-defense only.
She touched two fingers to her heart, then the same two fingers to Asha's forehead.
Let it be so known. We have a covenant, she said formally.
Asha inclined her head, letting out a breath she hadn't realized she was holding. She wasn't sure how far the Shadrahin's word could really be trusted, but it was the best she could have hoped for.
Where should I deliver the vessels? She asked.
I'll have people gather at the Silver Talon at dusk. From what I have been hearing, there will be no administration left in this part of the city to notice, or anyone else, for that matter, said the Shadrahin.
Asha nodded.
How many?
There were hundreds of catalogued weapons in the storeroom, so she wasn't worried about there not being enough.
100 should suffice.
Asha's eyes narrowed.
I'll provide one vessel per shadow you can get to that inn. No more.
The Shadrahin nodded.
And I expect there to be about 100 present.
Asha frowned, taken aback. It was good news, of course. The more shadows there were, the better defended the city would be. But she'd expected 20, maybe 30 at best. People had been abandoning the city even prior to last night's news, and the shadows, even the Shadrahin's people, hadn't had any good reason to stay. In fact, they'd had less reason to remain than most. Unless the Shadrahin had asked them to stay, of course. Asha was silent for several seconds as she studied the other woman.
"You knew," she said.
The Shadrahin kept her face smooth, but Asha saw the tiniest flicker of surprise in her eyes.
"What do you mean?"
"You knew shadows could use vessels. You knew I'd bring you this deal."
Asha thought back to what Terran had said, about his having to spy on her even if the blind were at the gates. His instructions not to touch her, even if she didn't deliver on her agreement. She looked the Shadrahin in the eye.
"It doesn't change anything, you have my word. But tell me the truth. Did you know this would happen when you sent the North Warden to me?"
The Shadrahin just stared at her for a few moments. Then she gave a small laugh.
"Too many,"
she sighed, shaking her head.
"I did not think you would notice."
"Then you did know?"
"Not as such. I knew we would be fighting the blind with vessels, and I knew that administration were the only ones with a significant number of them. Putting you close to the North Warden was one of several ways I thought it might happen."
Asha paused. It galled her to think that the Shadrahin had planned to get hold of the vessels, but ultimately it mattered little.
"So are you an ogre?"
"No."
The Shadrahin sounded amused.
"I'll tell you how I knew, if you're willing to tell me how you knew Sinar was not in charge, or how you found out that I am a woman."
"I'm afraid I can't do that."
"I suspected as much."
The Shadrahin gave a regretful sigh.
"A mystery for another time, then."
She stood, indicating the meeting was over.
"Oh, and Ashalia. Neither Sinar nor myself will be at the Silver Talon, so I will be letting my people know that they are to follow your lead. They will do whatever you need them to, and go wherever you ask."
Asha felt her eyebrows raise, but she quickly nodded. It was a lot of responsibility, but it still made her feel more comfortable than if the Shadrahin had been giving the orders.
"One last thing," said Asha as she stood too. "I have a message for you, though I don't really understand it. A gift from someone called Davian."
The Shadrahin smiled.
"A gift from someone I do not know."
Asha ignored the other woman's amusement.
"The message is that Talcomar is going to take Lycanius to the wells."
The Shadrahin froze. For a fraction of a second, she looked both excited and terrified, though the expression was quickly smoothed over, replaced by one of intense curiosity. She stared into Ash's eyes for a long moment, eyes focused.
"You are certain that was the message?"
Asha nodded, shivering a little under her gaze.
"And that was all?"
"Yes."
The Shadrahin didn't move for a few seconds, rubbing her thumb and forefinger together absently.
"Davian," she murmured. "Excellent. Please tell him that I am in his debt."
She gave Asha a considering look, then the slightest nod of respect.
"Now, however, you and I are both needed elsewhere, so you will need to see yourself out. It was a pleasure to meet you, Ashalia. I feel certain our paths will cross again."
She gave Asha a final smile, then crossed to the door and left. As quickly as that, it was done. Asha did as the Shadrahin had suggested and found her own way out, not for the first time wondering exactly what Davian's message had meant. It didn't play on her mind for long this time, though. Once back on the street, she took a deep, steadying breath, then started back towards the palace. She already had the key to the storeroom, and a veil would allow her to go to and from it several times without being detected. She watched a patrol sweep through the street ahead of her, the soldiers' every motion taut with nervousness. She understood exactly how they felt. Things were coming to a head, and she had no idea how they were going to turn out. It was almost time. Chapter 49. Davian stared ahead grimly as he walked alongside Elder Ilanar down yet another flight of dimly lit, rough stone stairs deeper into the heart of Tol Athien.
"You're angry," noted Nashril, giving him a sideways glance.
"Yes," Davian replied bluntly, too frustrated to be polite. He gritted his teeth for a few seconds in silence, then scowled, unable to contain his exasperation. "You and the Council are making the wrong decision. Having gifted available to heal the wounded would save many lives." Nashril made a calming gesture.
"I'm on your side, Davian. If I had my way, we would be at the Shields as we speak," he said calmly. "But the others did make some valid points. The palace can hardly expect us to help, not if they're not willing to change the tenets, so that we can at least defend ourselves."
"But you won't even talk to them," said Davian in frustration.
"And as we told you, if changing the tenets is not a part of the discussion, there is little point."
"But if you just..."
"It's not just the king's stubbornness regarding the tenets, Davian."
Nashril stopped and turned to him, a serious look on his face.
"This vitriol we've been hearing from him, these open threats against the gifted, isn't something we can just ignore. You have to understand. All of us remember the unseen war like it was yesterday, and what we've heard coming from the palace has been stirring up old memories, old fears."
"So the solution is to hide in here and hope it all goes away?"
Nashril frowned at that.
"Show a little respect," he said quietly, anger just beneath the surface.
Davian colored, knowing he'd overstepped, but Nashril started walking again before Davian could respond.
"I know you're frustrated, but the elders on the council went through things during the war that you can only imagine. Since then, being behind these walls is the only way many of them can feel safe. Fates, I can name 4 elders who haven't left the toll in nearly 20 years. These are deep-seated fears, Davian, not the kind that can be easily overcome, especially not when they are fed by the king like this."
Davian shook his head. "Maybe you're right," he conceded. "But it doesn't excuse the way they're abandoning everyone. It doesn't give them the right to bury their heads in the sand while the blind threaten their city. Even the gifted from Tol Shen have realized that." Nashril didn't respond for a while. The stairwells and passageways seemed to narrow the further down they traveled. Here, Davian would have been able to touch both walls simultaneously with his elbows if he'd tried. The rock of Ilan Tora itself had slowly transformed from the carefully carved, light brown texture of the upper levels to a jagged, menacing black, rough-hewn and almost volcanic in its appearance. The air was musty, and there was such a fierce chill to it that Davian shivered despite his thick cloak. Eventually, the elder sighed.
"There's some merit to what you're saying, Davian, and the news about Shen surprised me. But the council have made their decision. What's done is done."
He shook his head.
"Just be glad they agreed to let you see Tanbar. I wasn't sure they were going to do that much, to be honest, after you expressed your displeasure about our decision not to fight. And Tol Athien is not in the habit of giving strangers free access to prisoners, either."
Davian grunted. "I can't say I appreciated having to read them like it was some kind of parlor trick, though," he said in disgust.
"They needed proof that you were really an augur, some guarantee you weren't lying before they could let you down here. It was not unreasonable."
Nashril gave a slight smile.
"Anyway, Fethrin and Yelsa certainly regret making you do it."
Davian snorted. "They brought that on themselves."
"That they did," said Nashril in amusement.
They turned down another passageway. Here essence orbs had been replaced with traditional torches so sparsely placed along the hallways that it was almost pitch black when walking in between them. The only sound was the constant echoing of the 2 men's boots on the hard stone, and even that faint noise was quickly swallowed by the darkness. They emerged into a long hallway, wider and better lit than those preceding. Rather than blank black rock, iron doorways with small barred windows lined the passage, and from the occasional cough, Davian could tell that the dungeon had at least a few occupants. Finally, they came to a stop in front of a cell, one of the last in the hallway. Dark though it was, Davian could make out the crouched human form within. He waited until Nashrell unlocked the steel-barred door, then turned to the Elder. "I'd prefer not to go in there unarmed." Nashrell hesitated, then drew a short dagger from his belt.
"Use this for anything but self-defense, and augur or not, I'll have you thrown out of the toll. Immediately."
Davian nodded. "Of course."
"Davian!" came a familiar voice from inside the cell. "I see the gifted know what you are now, and haven't turned you in yet. Good for you."
Tenbar walked forward so that his face was pressed up against the bars of the tiny window. He looked like he hadn't washed in days, and his beard was growing out to give him an entirely unkempt look. Davian glared at him, fury burning in his stomach.
"Stand back," he growled.
Tenbar did as he was told. Davian opened the door with one hand, gripping the knife in the other. He doubted Tenbar could overpower him in his evidently weakened state, but there was no point taking the chance. Davian entered the cell warily, but Tenbar had taken a seat on the opposite side of the small room. Despite his condition, he looked relaxed, even a little smug, his legs crossed and reclining as if the stone bench was the most comfortable chair in the world. Davian felt another flash of anger.
"I've come to find out who you're working for, and how to stop the blind," he said, keeping his tone as calm as he could manage.
Tenbar smiled.
"Ah, so that's what they decided to call them. How unoriginal. And they're here already, are they? Faster than I expected," he said cheerfully. "Thank you for that information. Nobody had told me I would be rescued quite so soon."
"Rescued?" Davian gave a bitter laugh. "You're not going anywhere, Tenbar. I'll see you dead before I see you free."
"Threatening my life?"
Ilseth sighed.
"Davian, you forget that I know you a little. Not well, perhaps, I'll grant you that. But enough to know that you're no murderer. You don't have a violent bone in your body."
Davian said nothing for a moment, then took a deep breath. He wasn't here to argue with Tenbar or rise to his taunts. He was here to read him, plain and simple. He concentrated, reaching out until he could feel Tenbar's mind. He was immediately, unsurprisingly, presented with a locked box. Davian examined the box in silence. There were other memories outside it, but Davian didn't bother to look at them. If Tenbar didn't feel the need to hide them, they were unimportant. He tried to remember how he'd broken into Malshash's box, but the longer he stared at Tenbar's, the more impregnable it seemed to become.
"I'm shielded, Davian," said Ilseth,
his tone relaxed, even slightly amused.
"I've kept my thoughts private for 40 years, from before the real augurs fell. You're not breaking in."
Davian didn't reply, but allowed his focus to wane for a few moments. Ilseth was putting all his concentration into maintaining that shield. Even if Davian tried forcing the box open, he would probably fail. He needed Ilseth's attention elsewhere. His stomach churned a little, but it needed to be done. He leaned over, and as coldly as possible, plunged the knife into Tenbar's thigh. Tenbar screamed in surprised pain. Even as Davian pulled the knife out again, he slammed into Tenbar's mental box with everything he had. It disintegrated, and Davian moaned as Tenbar's agony flooded through to his own mind. He ignored the pain, clenching his fists. Behind him, he could hear Nashrell yelling something, rushing into the cell. If Davian was going to get information, he had to be quick. He searched for a way to stop the blind, but to his frustration, he discovered that Tenbar knew very little of the invasion. It made sense, he supposed. If he'd had something so vital in his memories, then Davide would surely have found a way to have him killed, tucked away in a Tolathian dungeon or not. Davian moved on to the question that had been burning inside him for so long now. Why had Tenvar given him the vessel, sent him away before the slaughter of everyone else in the school? He located the memory he was after, then took a deep breath. Davian waited. The small room was dark, dank, and had a musty smell which made him sporadically wrinkle his nose in disgust. A jumble of discarded boxes were heaped in the corner, where the damp had already contrived to rot through some of them. Otherwise, the room was empty. There were no windows this far beneath the surface, of course, but his lamp, set down in the middle of the room, lit the black stone walls well enough. He hoped this meeting would not take long, being discovered in this section of Tol Athian, so deep beneath the ancient foundations, would result in questions he may not easily be able to answer. He began to pace, tracking an imaginary path along the cold stone floor. He had received this summons so abruptly, so directly, that he did not know what to expect. For the thousandth time, he pondered the possibility that it was a trap. The message had been written in an ancient Darisian dialect. There were only 4 or 5 people in Andara who still knew that language, so a ruse seemed unlikely. Why he was being called upon at this vital moment, though, now, when he was so close to succeeding, he simply could not imagine. He ran his fingers through his hair as he marched back and forth, mentally categorizing the possibilities. None of them were good. Behind him, the lamp went out, plunging the room into darkness. He froze mid-step, a shiver running up his spine as he heard the door to the stairwell creak shut. The hair at the base of his neck began to prickle.
"You have come," a deep voice rumbled in approval.
Davian turned. The room seemed lit again, but it was a cold, pale luminescence, as if he were seeing through the darkness rather than by a natural light. In front of the closed door stood the faint outline of a lone man, cloaked and hooded, face shrouded in shadow. The stranger made no move to enter the room further.
"I would not refuse a summons from the master we serve," said Davian.
The man had to be using Khan to manipulate essence, illuminating the room but keeping himself in darkness. Not a trap, then. Something more terrifying by far, in fact, though Davian could not fathom how one of them could be on this side of the boundary. They weren't a myth, then. This was one of the Venerate. The hooded man nodded, oblivious to Davian's train of thought.
"That is good," he growled. "Then you would not refuse a task from him, either."
Davian thought he must be altering his voice somehow. Certainly no one could naturally sound so gravelly. Distracted by the thought, the stranger's words took a few moments to sink in.
"It would be an honor to serve Lord Dvade in any task,"
he said, almost tripping over the words in his haste to respond. The Venerate were not to be trifled with, but the question burned within him. He hesitated a second longer, swallowing hard, working up the courage to continue.
"Before we proceed, if I may ask, why now? I mean no disrespect, but what could be worth risking my place here, so close to the end?"
He had worked too hard, sacrificed too much not to know. There was a long silence. Though Davian could not see beneath the other man's hood, he could feel his gaze burrowing into his skull.
"Do you know why I chose this place to meet?"
The words were spoken so softly that Davian barely heard them. He shifted, his sense of unease growing.
"No."
"I chose it because the walls here have no remembering."
The man raised his hand, brushing the stone with his fingertips.
"In this room, Tenvar, I can do whatever I please."
There was no warning. Davian gasped as the index finger of his right hand began to burn. A second later, a shriek ripped from his throat as agony coursed through him, nerves screaming as they were sliced open. He grasped the finger tightly, but to no avail. He collapsed on the floor as it began to tear open from the tip downward, slowly splitting fingernail and then flesh in a shower of blood and pain. the bare bone itself splintering as impossibly fine strands of essence pulled it carefully, inexorably, in opposite directions.
"Stop!"
he sobbed, writhing helplessly. Already the finger was split down to the second joint. He moaned, heart pounding wildly, trying to focus on anything but the pain.
"Stop!"
he choked again. After what seemed like an eternity, he felt the force exerted upon his rent flesh vanish. Essence flowed around him. His hand began to cool, and something dropped wetly to the floor. The pain eased. He sat up from his prostrate position, then turned away and retched, the bile acidic in his throat. The small, pulpy mass of twisted and torn flesh next to him was all that remained of his forefinger. On his hand, the dark red blood had vanished, and a smooth, scarred stump sat where the finger had been taken off. Only a throbbing remembrance of pain remained.
"Ah, 'tis a reminder," the man said quietly. "I chose only a finger to punish your insolence. I could easily have chosen something more important."
Davian shuddered, scrambling backward away from both the mangled digit and his attacker, until his back was pressed against the cold stone wall. The man seemed not to notice.
"You are not here to question," he continued, "but to serve as your master sees fit. Do you understand?"
Davian nodded, eyes wide with fear.
"Now, we received your message. You think the Asheriai's attacks have finally borne fruit, that the heir is hiding in Caladel?"
Davian swallowed, his nod vigorous this time.
"Nashrell insisted on holding the trials there early this year. It's for reasons of efficiency, supposedly, but that's a weak excuse at best. It seems clear they are trying to get the boy out of harm's way."
He paused.
"I have already made sure I am part of the group going there. If my suspicions are correct, Ilanar will reveal the true purpose of the journey just before we leave."
"Good."
Suddenly the stranger was moving, striding across the room. Davian pressed further back against the wall as if trying to sink into the stone itself. The man stopped directly in front of him, towering over him. Then in one smooth motion, he retrieved something from beneath his robes. He held it out to Davian.
"Take it," he instructed.
Davian leaned forward hesitantly, then removed the item from the man's gloved hand, almost snatching it in his haste to retreat again. He managed to drag his gaze downward for a moment, giving the object a quick glance. It was small, small enough to fit snugly in his palm, and appeared to be a metallic cube of some kind. As Davian took the object, the man's sleeve pulled back slightly. Davian saw it for only a moment, but there was a symbol tattooed on his wrist, the Ilsharat, the symbol of the boundary, he thought, that seemed to glow as Davian touched the box. He looked back up straight away, knowing he was not supposed to have seen what he had. The other man, fortunately, appeared not to notice.
"There is a boy in the school at Caladel called Davian. He is an augur, barely aware of his abilities. However, he knows how to discern deception. You know how to counter that?"
"Of course,"
said Davian, still dazed.
"Good. You are to give him that box and tell him that he needs to deliver it for you. It doesn't matter what reason you give. Just ensure it is something that he can believe, and that it motivates him sufficiently to go through with it. Allow him to leave the school safely and undetected."
Davian nodded. He had 100 questions, but he knew better than to ask most of them.
"Where is he to take it?"
"North," replied the man. Tell him to head north. He will know where to go thereafter.
Davian coughed.
My lord, if there were something more specific, perhaps it would be easier to...
He trailed off, realizing what he was saying.
As our master wishes. What of the heir?
He dies as planned, along with the rest, said the man. No survivors, no one to confirm that Davian is missing. Understand, this is even more important than killing Torrin Andrus. Davian must deliver the box at all costs.
Davian repressed a frown. That was explicitly different from what he'd been told before. Still, there could be no doubt that this man had been sent by Arkhine Devaid. Whatever had caused the change in plan, it seemed he was not to be privy to it. He gave a weak nod.
It must be important, he said cautiously.
The man paused.
It will ensure our master's return from his exile in Talangol. It will ensure our victory, Tenvar.
He leaned forward.
Is that motivation enough for you?
I will not fail you,
Davian managed to stutter out, but the other man had already spun, heading towards the door. A shadowy swirl of Khan covered the messenger as he reached the heavy oak, and he seemed to melt through the wood, vanishing from sight. As soon as he had gone, the room was once more plunged into darkness. Davian huddled further into the corner, eyes squeezed shut, nursing his hand and choking back the sobs that threatened to explode out of him now that he was alone. He did not move for a very, very long time.
Davian gasped as he dragged himself out of Tenvar's mind, stumbling backward and then crashing to the ground as Nashril tackled him. He allowed himself to be dragged to his feet and shoved bodily against the wall, mind still reeling from the impact of forcing his way into Tenvar's thoughts, as well as what he'd just seen.
"Give me the knife," said Nashril, his voice high with tension. "And don't move."
Davian released his grip on the blood-stained blade, letting it fall to the ground, his mind spinning. The stranger had been linked to the box, just as Caden was. What did that mean? That Caden was associated with him somehow? That the box had been linked to someone else initially? It hadn't been Caden himself. The man in the hood had been too tall, too thin. And the hand Davian had seen was wrinkled, the hand of an older man. Another thought struck him. Given what the stranger had said at the end, why would Melshash have told him to follow through on getting the box to Caden? Unless Melshash wanted Devaid to be freed? Davian went cold at the thought. He'd never once considered it before, but after what he'd just seen... He clenched his fists. The memory had told him a little, but not enough, and in many ways it had only raised more questions.
"What did you do to him?"
Nashrell's voice broke through Davian's train of thought.
"I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to kill him," Davian reassured the elder. "I just needed to disrupt his concentration so I could get to his memories. I knew you'd be able to heal the wound. He'll be okay."
"I'm not so sure about that."
Davian frowned, twisting from his position pressed up against the stone wall to see what the elder was talking about. Ilseth lay, mouth and eyes wide open on the floor. Nashril had already used essence to heal his leg wound, but the man's expression was vacant, lifeless. His chest rose and fell, but it was as if a light had gone out behind his eyes. Davian grimaced. Melshash had warned him about the possibility of doing permanent damage. For a moment he felt glad, like perhaps some form of justice had been done. Then he recoiled at the thought, felt bile swirling in his stomach. He'd wanted vengeance for those who had died at Kaladel, certainly, for what had happened to Asha, but he wasn't the kind of man to take it with violence. Was he? Davian swallowed. His emotions had been murky ever since accessing Malshash's memory back in Dailanis.
He still felt like he'd done those things at the wedding, killed all those people. Just as he now rubbed at his forefinger, vaguely surprised to find it intact. He shook his head to clear it. He would deal with whatever this was later. For the moment, he had more important things to worry about. He shivered as he remembered the hooded man's words to Ilseth. "It will ensure our victory." Then he froze.
"We need to leave," he said to Nashwell suddenly.
The elder grunted.
"You certainly do, because I warned you what would happen if you used that knife."
"No." Davian looked at him urgent.
"There's something you need to know. We need to get to wherever you store your vessels."
Davian's heart pounded as he explained. Whatever else happened, whether he was an enemy or just a pawn in all that was happening, Caden needed to be kept far, far away from that box. Caden sat on the low stone wall next to Kara, silent as he digested what the princess had just told him. He stared out over the empty courtyard, the only other people in view a pair of distant guards as they went about their pre-dawn patrol. The space would be full of soldiers soon enough, and given the news, today more than ever the mood during their training would be somber. The Blind had defeated General Jashtar's army. We're coming straight for the city. Caden shivered a little, and he wasn't entirely sure it was just from the crisp night air. He glanced across at the princess, chest constricting a little as he realized that it meant his time with her was rapidly drawing to a close, too. These early morning conversations between them had become a routine over the past week. Kara would slip out of her rooms without her father's guards realizing, knock at his door, and the two of them would come out here and spend hours just talking. He knew the princess was being nothing more than friendly, but Caden had begun to live for those times. Though he'd often enjoyed his talks with Weir, Davian, Tayrus, and the others, the specter of his past had always hovered over those exchanges. Around Kara, that never seemed to be the case. Their conversations were more relaxed, lighter somehow, even if the topics were serious. It seemed that with her, for just a few hours each day, he was able to forget all the problems he faced, that they all faced, and just take pleasure in someone else's company. Today, however, was different. Kara had looked exhausted when he'd opened his door this morning, and now he knew why. "How soon until they arrive?" asked Caden, his stomach churning.
"A couple of days, maybe less, if they push. Nobody is really sure."
Kara watched Caden's expression.
"What are you and Tayrus going to do?"
Caden hesitated. He hadn't confided Tayrus's contingency plan to the princess, not due to a lack of trust, but rather because Caden didn't want to put the princess in yet another awkward position. Knowing her as he now did, Caden had no doubt that if he told Kara that he and Tayrus were intending to break into the toll, she would feel guilty for not acting on the information, would feel party to whatever happened as a result. But he realized now that he couldn't leave her completely in the dark, either. She hadn't made him put the shackle back on. If he left without warning, she would think he'd just run away, abandoned the city, abandoned her. Before he could speak, though, he spotted a harried-looking Tayrus hurrying towards them. Caden grimaced, but nodded to the older man and stood.
"Caden," said Tayrus in half-irritated relief when he got a little closer.
His eyes widened as he recognized Caden's companion, and his demeanor transformed. He gave a low bow.
"Your Highness, I'm afraid I will need to borrow Caden for a while."
Kara nodded slowly.
"That is fine, Tayrus," she said,
suddenly the cool and formal version of herself that Caden now saw only on occasion. She turned to Caden with the hint of a wry smile.
"Perhaps there will be an opportunity to continue this sometime later today."
She began to walk away. Caden watched her go in frustration, knowing why Tayrus had come to find him.
"Your Highness," he abruptly called after her. "Please wait a moment."
He hurried over to the princess, ignoring Tayrus's surprised look.
"I'm not sure we will get the chance to speak again before the Blind arrive, Your Highness," Caden said in a meaningful tone, locking gazes with Kara. "I think other matters may..."
keep me away.
Kara looked between Caden and Tayrus for a few seconds, then nodded in understanding. Her eyes were suddenly sad.
Then we will just have to wait until after everything is over, she said softly.
She stepped forward, her lips brushing against his cheek.
Fates guide you, Caden.
Caden swallowed, blushing.
You too, Kara, he said, quietly enough that Tayrus couldn't overhear.
Kara just nodded, then turned and disappeared back into the main palace building without another word. Caden watched her go, then turned to Tayrus and opened his mouth to explain.
I don't want to know, said Tayrus gruffly, shaking his head.
There was something approaching an amused smile on his lips, though it faded almost straight away.
You've heard about the blind?
Just then, said Caden. He hesitated. The travel stone is really our only option?
Tayrus nodded.
It is now, and we should think about using it straight away. It's early enough that we might catch some of the gifted still asleep in the toll. Maybe buy ourselves a couple of extra minutes to get the memory device working.
He glanced around.
We can't just open the portal out in the open, though. The last thing we need is someone seeing and trying to interfere. Doing it from my quarters would be best.
Caden nodded, and they started toward Tayrus's rooms. After a few minutes, they rounded a corner, and Tayrus issued a soft, panicked curse. Caden looked up at him in alarm as the scarred man faltered, breaking his stride for a moment as he stared down the hallway ahead. Caden followed his gaze. A blond-haired man in a fine blue cloak was walking towards them, though he was absorbed in reading some papers in his hand and hadn't yet noticed their presence. Caden glanced at Tayrus, who had now bowed his head, evidently doing his best to hide his face from the stranger. The administrator looked up just before they were passed and came to an abrupt halt, holding up a hand to indicate that they should do the same.
Tayrus Sar, he said once
Tayrus had stopped, a quiet certainty in his voice. Tayrus's shoulders slumped and he nodded.
Duke Andrus, he responded dully.
Caden's stomach twisted. The Duke was one of the people that they had been desperate to avoid, that Tayrus was certain would turn them over to administration. The Duke studied Tayrus and Caden for a long moment.
Try not to be seen, he said.
He turned his attention back to his papers and walked off without another word. Tayrus and Caden both gaped after the administrator for a few seconds.
Why didn't he raise the alarm? Asked Caden.
Tayrus shook his head in confusion.
I don't know, he admitted. But let's get moving before he changes his mind.
They made it to Tayrus's rooms without further incident. The few other people they passed in the hallways all seemed distracted, hurrying about their business and paying little heed to the two men. Once they were inside, Tayrus turned to Caden, still looking a little shaken.
Before we do this, I need to make one thing clear, Caden. This was a last resort for good reason. I can get us in, but not out again. If we let the gifted catch us, they will lock us up and will be of no help to anyone. So whatever happens, you're going to need to get free. Fight your way out if you have to, but make sure you get to the shields by the time the blind get here. Even if that means leaving me behind.
Caden didn't reply for a moment, wanting to protest, knowing that this was his last chance to change his mind. He'd suspected that this would be the way of things ever since Tayrus had told him the plan. Was he really capable of fighting his way out of Tol Athian, though? He knew he probably had the raw strength. If his memories were fully returned, he would hopefully have the skill as well. But whether he would be able to do it without hurting anyone was another matter entirely. Despite their stubbornness, the gifted were to a large extent innocent in all of this, and Caden had no desire to injure anyone at the toll. Deep down, though, he understood that an escape without casualties may turn out to be impossible. And he did need to escape. Needed to do everything he could to fight the blind.
I understand, he said reluctantly.
Tayrus gave him a relieved nod.
Are you ready?
Once we start this process, administrators will be on their way. We won't get a second chance at it.
Caden took a couple of steadying breaths. Ready. Tyrus put his hand above the travel stone and closed his eyes. A stream of white energy started pouring from him into the stone. He stayed like that for several seconds before stopping the flow with a slight shudder. He picked up the stone from the table and held it out, away from his body. The vessel began to glow. A shimmering line of light appeared in front of Tyrus, growing, spinning, and expanding until it was twice Caden's height and just as wide. Then it vanished, replaced by a hole that simply hung in the air. Caden peered through it into what appeared to be a vast storage room. He glanced at Tyrus, who made an impatient gesture.
"Go! Quickly!"
the elder said through gritted teeth.
"I can't hold it open for more than a few seconds."
Caden braced himself, then tentatively stepped through the hole. He'd expected some sort of sensation or resistance, but it was no different to stepping through a doorway. Tyrus followed, and the portal blinked shut behind him. He stepped quickly over to a nearby table, scooping up a polished black stone and pocketing it before turning to Caden.
"Now," he said, "let's find this device."
Caden barely heard the words. On a shelf, not far from where the stone had been, was the bronze box. To Caden's eyes, it burned like the sun, though he knew only he and Davian saw it that way. Tyrus probably hadn't even noticed it yet. The tattoo on Caden's wrist was shining brighter than ever, too, even through the fabric of his shirt.
"Where should we look?" asked Caden, not taking his eyes from the vessel.
Tyrus shuffled his feet, casting a nervous glance towards the door.
"It's large. A pillar of stone about 3 feet tall, if I remember correctly. If we just..."
Tyrus's voice faded into the background. Caden stepped forward, reached out his hand, and picked up the bronze vessel from the shelf. The explosion nearly tore him from his feet. He stumbled backward, throwing a hand to his eyes to shield them from the intense red light that had erupted in front of him. Tyrus was yelling something at him, screaming it, but there was a roar of power that drowned out everything else. When Caden's eyes finally adjusted to the brightness, he felt a stab of fear. Before him was an enormous vortex of pure red fire, swirling and coalescing, stretching from roof to ceiling. He stared at it for a few moments in shock, then glanced down at the box in his hand. It was warm, but its glow, so bright a moment ago, had vanished, as had the glow from his wrist.
"What is it?"
he screamed to Tyrus.
"I don't know,"
Tyrus yelled back, only just audible.
"We should leave it be, though. There's no telling what it does."
To his left, the door to the storeroom burst open. Caden turned to see a wild-eyed Davian rushing inside, followed closely by a red-cloaked man he recognized as Elder Ilanar. Both men stared at the vortex in shock, then headed straight for Caden.
"Caden!"
screamed Davian, seeing the box in his hands.
"Put it down!"
Caden barely heard, even his shocked delight at seeing Davian alive registering as only a minor distraction. Somehow he knew that the vortex was meant for him. He was supposed to step into it. It would take him... he wasn't sure where, but it was somewhere he wanted to go. Somewhere he needed to go. He shook his head.
"I'm sorry,"
he yelled, including both Davian and Tyrus in the apology.
"I have to do this!"
"Caden, don't!"
It was Tyrus.
"We need you here!"
Caden closed his eyes, breathed steadily. Then he spun, sprinting as hard as he could towards the tunnel of fire. He could sense Tyrus and Davian both moving to stop him, but he was too fast. He was always going to be too fast. He leapt into the vortex at full speed, bracing himself. There was heat, the briefest instant of feeling like the flames were dancing on his skin. The shouts behind him faded. And then he was somewhere else. Chapter 50. Weir stood alongside Aelric and Dizia atop the first shield, staring apprehensively out over the plains beyond Fedris Idri as they waited for the first sign of the enemy. The blind were coming, and fast. The report had arrived an hour ago from one of General Paredes' scouts, who had ridden his horse near to death in his urgency to return. The invaders were no longer taking their time. They had seemingly marched throughout the previous night, pausing for neither sleep nor food. They were likely to reach the city walls by nightfall. Now afternoon was waning to dusk, and the gates below were finally shutting. Weir flinched as the massive doors sealed the city, the ominous boom echoing around the narrow pass. Then the sound faded, leaving almost utter silence. At least a few minutes ago, there had been the low murmur of voices from the several hundred men manning the first shield, even the occasional nervous laugh. Now that had died away too, as the sun began to slip below the horizon. Weir felt a hand on his shoulder, and he turned to see Aelric looking at him with a serious expression.
"Are you sure you want to be up here?" the young swordsman asked quietly. He glanced across at his sister, including her in the query. "It's not like the second shield isn't going to need defenders."
Weir winced, glancing around to check that no one had overheard. His father had warned him that the fighting would reach Ilinilan itself, and Weir in turn had felt the need to tell Dizia and Aelric. That didn't mean he wanted the soldiers to know, though. For most of the men, their hope of victory, their belief that it was attainable, was what gave them the courage to fight. Dizia evidently knew that too, and gave her brother a withering look, shaking her bow at him.
"We've already discussed this. My skills are going to be all but useless once it comes to hand-to-hand combat," she said in a whisper. "I may as well make a difference while I can. And I can be most effective healing the wounded from up here, getting them back in the fight quickly," added Weir. "No different to the Shen gifted."
He glanced across at the nervous cluster of red-cloaked men and women who stood together at the city end of the wall, back a little from the front lines. There weren't many of them, but it was more than Weir had expected from Tol Shen, and their presence would make a real difference. Aelric grunted as he followed Weir's gaze.
"Fair enough. Just stay as far back as you can once everything starts, both of you. You're no good to anyone if you get hurt," he said gruffly, turning his gaze back out onto the plains.
Weir exchanged a small grin with Dizia. Her brother had already said something similar a few times in the past hour. He clapped Aelric on the back.
"We will," he assured the young man.
On a whim, Weir wandered closer to the edge of the wall, tentatively leaning forward to see the hard stone below, marveling again at just how high up they were. A mild wave of vertigo washed over him before he drew back. The first shield, the outermost of Fedris Idri's defenses, atop which he now stood, was at least 50 feet tall, allowing anyone manning it to see for miles across the plains in any direction. Height wasn't its only advantage. Despite the narrow pass, the shield's depth allowed hundreds of men to be atop it at once. At the front, its thin parapet tapered upward everywhere into sharp points, jagged but elegantly symmetrical, as if rows of enormous swords had been carved from the stone itself. He'd tested one of the edges of those impossibly thin stone spikes himself, drawing blood from the lightest of touches. His father had once explained that the builders had created every edge of the parapet to be razor sharp. Any attackers clambering over it would inevitably be cut. And the tapering shape of the parapet itself meant that ladders could never sit flat against it, could never jut out over it in order to bypass its dangers altogether. Even so, none of it made Weir feel any safer. "So what news from General Paredes?" he asked after a moment. "I saw you speaking to him a few minutes ago." Aelric shrugged. "He says there's likely to be about 1,000 of the blind. They're not going to fit more than a couple of hundred into the pass at once, though, so that's something." He hesitated, glancing along the line and lowering his voice. "He's worried about how these men are going to hold up in a battle. Many of them were left out of Jashtar's force for a reason, Parade said a lot of them have had discipline issues lately. Difficulty completing their drills sometimes. Gone for a day or so doing fates know what, then back and pretending like nothing's wrong. Not men he particularly wanted to have to rely on. Weir grimaced. Just what we need. Elric grunted his agreement. The three of them stood side by side for a while, the heavy silence pressing on Weir's shoulders like a physical weight. He was so lost in thought that he jumped when a hand clapped him on the shoulder. Weir turned.
Davian!
He exclaimed. Davian smiled tiredly, then gave a short laugh of surprise as he was enveloped by embraces from Aelric and Dizia.
Weir said you were alive, but I wasn't sure I believed him until now. It's good to see you, Davian, said Aelric.
You too, said Davian. I just wish it were under better circumstances.
Weir's heart sank as he saw the expression on his friend's face. Tolathian did not go well. Davian paused, then gave Aelric and Dizia a hesitant glance.
They know about you, Dav, said Weir, a little apologetically. There didn't seem to be much point hiding the truth after Dylanis.
Davian inclined his head, looking more relieved than anything else, and related what had happened at the toll.
Fates, murmured Weir when he was done, a sick feeling in his stomach.
So only the Shen gifted to heal the wounded, and now we have to keep an eye out for Caden, too. And the council locked Tayrus up?
Davian nodded. He looked about to say more when there was a shout from down the wall, followed by a low murmuring as soldiers began to point out towards the plains. Weir looked up, squinting in the fading light. Fires had begun to dot the horizon. Aelric turned to Davian, his voice tight.
Things are going to get messy up here soon. Are you going to be able to fight?
Davian didn't respond for a moment, staring out over the plains as if he could see something the others couldn't. Then he shook his head slightly as if to clear it.
There's no point me trying to use essence. There aren't enough sources nearby, and even if there were, I'd be bound by the tenets as soon as I drew enough to be useful. I might be able to use Khan, though.
He bit his lip.
I could use a sword, too, if there are any spare.
Weir gave him a skeptical look.
A sword?
Dav, we can find one for you, but is there really any point?
Davian hesitated, then glanced across at Aelric.
Aelric, I will understand if you don't want me to, but may I read you? If you let me, I can access your memories, relive some of your training. I don't think it will give me anywhere near your level of ability, unfortunately. I've read that physical skills don't translate very well due to the bodies being different. But even just knowing some of the basics would help.
Aelric stared at Davian, wide-eyed, for a long few moments. He licked his lips, looking nervous, and Weir felt sure he was going to refuse. Then he sighed.
That's all you'll see?
Yes, Davian assured him.
Aelric gave a slow nod.
Anything I can do to help?
Davian inclined his head gratefully, then stepped forward. He touched Aelric lightly on the forehead and closed his eyes, standing like that for several seconds. Weir and Dizia looked on with silent curiosity. As far as Weir could see, there was nothing to indicate anything unusual was happening. After a few more